Hey, welcome to The Interactive Journey. Come along with us as we share the stories of parents, children, and professionals navigating a challenging world of various diagnoses, life transitions, and being human.
Welcome to The Interactive Journey. My name is Rachel Watson. I'm one of your co-hosts along with Logan.
Hello.
And
Megan Chakowski. Hello.
There she is.
Wow, I feel like a celebrity today, but I am not. Our guest is a celebrity.
I'm not going to lie. I was thinking there was like a baby, and you know, you're like, there she is. Like, that's what I heard. That's what I was picturing, Rachel.
Well, besides our guest interviewer for today, we really do have a celebrity here. Her name is Erin Curry. And she is the director of our Interactive Kids, Adolescent, and Adult Department. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you for having me. But I definitely agree. I think our guest speaker is the celebrity today, yes, for sure.
Oh, she's shaking her head like, nope.
Well, that being said, we will introduce Karen Adams to the show. Karen, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's an honor to have you here. For those of you who do not know Karen, she is the mother of one of our clients, Stan. He has been with us for over 5 years. And we have asked Karen to be on the show because of her recent new adventure in the world of authoring a book.
So congratulations. We're so excited for you. And for those of you who may not know, everyone should know, it's Don't Give Up, the Stan Adams story.
Yes.
And I took it right home. So I ordered actually a couple copies from Amazon and took it right home, opened it up and started reading it right away. I loved it. And actually it was nice because I read some of it to my kids who are teenagers, younger teens. And they found it so interesting to hear a family's journey with, now obviously Stan's older than my 14 and 16 year old, but close enough in age. So, and they actually have been to the office, so they have met Stan previously. So to hear his story and where he came from, and honestly the triumph in so many areas that you were able to describe, and the pictures really helped too. So I can tell you made an impact in our household. So I'm very grateful for you for writing that. Yeah.
The book really was a labor of love. That's what I feel. To tell Stan's story, I need to go back to the beginning. So when Stan was about 2 years old, we started noticing that he really wasn't talking. He may have been saying a couple words. And, you know, my husband and I did bring up the concern to the pediatrician, and he said, he'll grow up, you know, when he gets older, don't worry about it. So we just was more concerned because we did not see him progressing. So we did change pediatricians, thank God. And the pediatrician that we did start going to, Dr. Wisniewski, she's not practicing. She was amazing. She's not practicing anymore, but she was concerned as well. So we started getting some testing done, and really we did not get a definitive diagnosis for Stan until he was 12. But in the meantime, we were taking him to doctors and we were getting him therapy, but not until he was 12, which is a big concern. You know, parents, that is a concern. I've heard that, you know, that's happened before. So Stan's had lots of therapy. I would say Interactive Kids, he's really grown a lot. You guys, you do a great job with him. He knows you all, you know. When Stan was in, let's say, seventh and eighth grade, we had some challenges with him, and it continued into high school. And we ended up changing our neurologist, and we started going to NeuroAbilities. It was back in the day, it was CNNH Research. CNNH in Voorhees, New Jersey. We met with Dr. Mintz, who is the CEO over at NeuroAbilities. And we talked about our concerns, and he ordered lots of testing. The testing was just amazing, so much. It was very thorough. They did a neuropsych eval. They did everything. And then once all the testing, even genetic testing, once all the testing was completed, we did meet with Dr. Mintz, and he went over everything. He had a plan for Stan. He had a plan for us. He had a plan for the school. And also, you know, he had suggestions for, I think he was seeing interactive kids at that point. And it was just amazing. You know, we made changes in his medication, and I would say, starting in the 10th grade on, you know, from there on, we saw major changes with Stan for the better. And when he was a senior, I'd always wanted him to have, he and Stefan to have swim lessons. And Stan did have swim lessons when he was two, but oh my God, they were so expensive. So I was online one day and I saw that there was a water safety program through Faces for Autism. The water safety program is called Massey's Mission. So I reached out to Faces for Autism. They told me about the program, and they told me the swim schools in the area that were participating. So I was all set to pay for Stan, and they said, oh no, he might qualify for a scholarship, which he did. And I did call Brigantine Aquatic Center, and I spoke to Sari Carroll. And she said, oh yeah, definitely we can, you know, teach Stan how to swim. And I said, well, you know, my other son, Stefan, he also has special needs. Can you teach him to swim as well? And she said, absolutely. And from that time, from that particular day, the boys have been swimming ever since. It took them 6 months to learn how to swim. And then come that fall of 2017, Sari approached me one day and she said, you know what, Stan's getting pretty good. You know, Epsi Gammy has a new swim coach. I was thinking about, his name is Jim Winkler. I was thinking about asking him if he thought Stan, you know, might be able to be on the swim team. And I was concerned, you know, like most parents, special needs parents would be.
Right.
I wanted to know if these were good kids. And she said, oh, they're pretty amazing. So I met Jim Winkley. He was really great. And Stan started going to the practices. And then at one particular day, he came home and he's like, I can't do this. I don't want to do this anymore. And I reached out to the coach and I said, well, Stan is saying that it's really hard and he doesn't want to do it anymore. And he said, well, I think we can make some adjustments in our practice so that he'll have more breaks and, you know, it will be a lot better for him. So the coach made some adjustments and Stan started going back to practice. And, you know, they did a lot of team building. We had pasta parties, the parents, we all got to chat. It was just really, really nice, a really nice group of kids and parents.
That's amazing that they were able to make those adjustments to make sure that he was successful. And honestly, it sounds like working with the other students, I feel like sometimes the focus is on maybe working on whoever is coming in and has some type of exceptionality, as opposed to really, it's mutual. You need to work with both sides. So absolutely. They gave him some extra breaks in there. What is there anything else that you can remember that they did, just for other parents who maybe are out there and thinking, like, I would love my child to be able to participate in sports? What are some things that we could do to help that happen?
Well, they had some of the other swimmers to kind of keep an eye on Stan, or, you know, if they would help him if they saw he was having difficulty with something. That was, you know, that was very helpful. There were a couple other coaches there to assist Coach Wink. That also, you know, participated in helping Stan. And Coach Wink said, we worked him hard, but he didn't know it. The way they kind of, you know, put the program together for him. That he said at practice, said, yeah, Stan didn't even realize he was working hard. But
Well, that's Coach wonderful. Wink, thank you. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your story. I know you're in there, but I just think that's so important that they've found a way to make it beneficial for everybody and for Stan to thrive. So please continue.
So Coach Wink had reached out to me and said, oh, I think I want to, it's time for Stan to, you know, swim and swim meet. He said, I'm thinking January 3rd, we're going to have a swim meet at Ocean City Community Center. He said, I think the pool will be great for Stan. So that's what happened, January 3rd. Some of the Interactive Kids staff were there as well. And Stan got on the block to swim, and he had a false start. So we all panicked. We're like, oh, we hope that that doesn't throw him. But Coach Sari got over there, and she, you know, talked to Stan. And then this time he waited, and he started to swim. And all of his teammates were just cheering him on. Everybody was standing up, and they were just kind of following him as he's swimming. And then he turned around, and he came back. And as soon as he finished, the whole place, I just took a moment. The whole place just erupted. Not only the Absegami parents and teammates, but also the Ocean City team and their coaches and those parents that were there. I guess the best way to describe it is like, it's like time stopped for just that particular moment. And even today, I don't think that Stan even realized how big a deal that was. So, as I mentioned, Aaron was there, and I think Christy Stack and another staff member from Interactive Kids. But it was amazing. So after that, you know, we embraced Stan. We were all crying, and coaches were crying, and Stan's like, why is everybody crying? And then after that, you know, he started appearing in these different, in the different newspapers, Glory Days. They did a story about Stan, The Current, The Press. Coach Wink did a radio interview and talked about Stan. So he kind of became the local celebrity here. We'd go out and I see parents and they'd say, oh, you know, I remember that story. Or I'd run into special needs families and they say, oh, you really, Stan, you really inspired us. And I mean, it was amazing. I guess it's one of those moments you had to be there to really grasp how big a moment that was. Wow. Not just for Stan.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Was Stan attending Absegami High School at the time?
Yes, he was.
When you were approached. Okay.
Yes.
Well, because I know that some students, you know, attend an out-of-district school and they don't always have, you know, coaches. They don't always know that they can participate in the sports that are at their at their home school.
That's very true. That's very true. But yes, Stan was, you know, he was a senior at that time at Absegami. Mm-hmm. So, you know, after the swimming, then, you know, as I said, he appeared in local papers. And then, I mean, he became the prom king. I mean, Stan got the athlete award from Absegami. He got the community leader award from Faces for Autism. I mean, you know, the Brigantine Aquatic Center. They started a special Olympic swim team and made Stan the captain. And the
star was swim born. Team,
I know. And the swim team was renamed recently the Stanley Special Friends swim team. And
very cool.
To date, I was told over 100 kids have come through that program.
That is fantastic. So not only did he have that amazing experience while he was swimming there, he also is now, there's a legacy.
Yes.
And, you know, others can follow in his footsteps and have the opportunities he has, and maybe even more as a result of his journey and everything, honestly, that you did as a parent and as an advocate for him. So getting that identification way back when, knowing something was a little bit off, switching to a different pediatrician, walking this journey, and always, I mean, you've had to, just knowing a little bit, you've had to rearrange many parts of your life, which I'm sure parents might say, well, we all do that. No, it's a little different. It's really huge. The difference is in the way that you really have to adjust your life so that your child and your children, because obviously, as you had said, you had another son, can get what they need to be successful, happy adults. So, I mean, kudos to you, really. I mean, it is a labor of love at times.
Thank you. But it takes a village, you know. Yeah. You have to have your village, you know, not only family and friends, you have to have therapists and physicians, coaches and counselors, you know, who are all part of your village to kind of help you. And we have been really blessed because we have a great village and Interactive Kids is part of our village. We, you know, we really, you know, really, really, really appreciate all the help and everything you guys have done to help Stan and Stefan, because Stefan sees Miss Christie. I did want to read something because I've been asked, so what does Apsigami think about all this? What do they think about the book? So I did reach out to Coach Winkler, who's still the coach over at Apsigami. And when I reached out to him, this is what he told me. He said, the coach is most proud of how the team has maintained the highest levels of sportsmanship of any team in New Jersey since Stan was there. He opened the door to dozens of special ed swimmers and athletes that never swam in any water before joining. Stan's legacy will be eternal at Gami Swimming.
Oh,
that's awesome.
That is incredible. Wow. Well, thank you to Coach Wink for sending that. And honestly, it's just such an incredible program, and that he can be a conduit for carrying on Stan's legacy. Erin, I wanted to ask you, what was it like? You know, you've worked with Stan for a long time, and you watched him. You're at that race, and you're watching him race. You see the false start, and you see start. Like, what was going through your mind at that point?
Yeah, well, similar to what Karen was saying, I think definitely there was that sense of like, oh no, we're, you know, kind of off to a false start or a bad start. And I remember Christy and I looking at each other, thinking, Stan going to be able to keep himself regulated after that unexpected event occurred,
right?
Because a lot of the things, and Karen can attest to this as well, a lot of the things that we work on and have worked on historically with Stan's programming here at Interactive Kids is maintaining, you know, his self-regulation and responding to unexpected events and still being able to follow through with tasks once they've kind of been derailed. And so Christy and I looked at each other, and I remember then after, you know, once Karen, as Karen mentioned, Coach Siri went over, kind of helped him reset, and then he got back in the water and continued with the race. Christy and I just kept looking over at each other, both maintaining eyes on him, and then, you know, just really kind of having those light bulbs go off of like, oh my gosh, like a lot of the things that Stan has been working so hard on, and, you know, him, his parents as well at home, like almost seeing like all those pieces kind of come together in obviously a very specific application, but, you know, yeah, definitely seeing it all come together. And then, as Karen mentioned, once the race was over, like we're all like sitting there crying, and, like, you know, it was a very surreal moment. I can definitely relate to the whole like time stopping type feeling. So yeah, it was really cool to see it from the other end of like, okay, all of those things that we've been working on, let's see if it can be applied in a situation. And it definitely was. So,
wow. So Karen, what inspired you? You know, you've had all this success and occasional, maybe some bumps in the road. But what inspired you to take all of this and then write a book? Because some parents might have these experiences and they may verbally talk to their friends or family or other people they interact with. But to take it that next step and write a book, a lot of people say, oh, someday I'm going to write a book. But that someday never happens for 90% of people. What was your inspiration for doing that?
Well, I've always been told that, oh, you should write a book, you know, you should write a book about Stan. But there was a college student a couple years back that Isabel Mosca from Faces for Autism had reached out to me regarding this college student he had a project he had to do for one of his classes. And at that particular moment, he thought he had to write a book, which we later found out it was just a presentation. But he did a presentation on Stan and he showed it to his class, and everybody was so excited about hearing all the, you know, the things that Stan has done. And he said, oh, you know, Mrs. Adams, I really think you should write a book. And I was like, I don't know. So one particular day, a couple years ago, it was actually on Stan's birthday. The house was quiet that night. And I said, let me just sit down at the computer and I don't know, let's see. And before I knew, I had 10 pages. So I had 10 pages, and I'm like, how can I build on this? So then I thought about it. I said, okay, I can talk about from my experience, you know, everything about Stan, but I want other people who have worked with Stan or, you know Stan to talk about him as well. And I also want there to be pictures because I don't want it to be all text. So I just started reaching out to people like Aaron and others who have worked with Stan to see if they would, you know, just give me some comments about him. Before I knew it, I had so many people, so many comments and, you know, testimonials, wow, we call them in the book. And I think that really, it brought the story, it brought it all together. Because in the beginning, I talk about the early days and the challenges, and then we talk about the triumphs, and then we have the testimonials. And then I have a page of resources for parents who have kids who are newly diagnosed, some resources that were helpful for me, and also some advice as well. So that's how it all came together. And it, as I say, it was a labor of love. I really do believe it was a labor of love.
Yeah, it was very well done. What do you think other parents or caregivers who are reading that, what would you hope that they walk away with? What kind of advice or what kind of impression about the book? What are your thoughts?
I think that you first have to have a village. You have to have a village around you, whether that's family, friends, therapists, coaches, or everyone, you know, all of those put together. And you have to, I always, in our house, we never say can't. That's the word we never say. You know, and you never know. As far as different activities or different sports, you won't know unless you try. So I the boys where they started off in baseball, they did karate and, you know, all. You try different things, and believe me, you'll find something that they do enjoy. And there will be days that are very challenging, but also remember that you will get through it, and there is light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, for kids who are younger, I think early intervention is just key. You have to get them therapy or resource, you know, all different types of things that they need when they're young. So that when they're older, that, you know, things may be a little better. But always, you know, just always, never give up. That's why the book says, don't give up. You can never give up, and you have to be your kid's biggest advocate. Nobody can advocate for your kid like you can. So when you're at school, you go to those IEP meetings, know all of the child study team. You should know everyone in that child study team, and they should know who you are. And know your resources, know your rights when you go into those IEP meetings. You know, go to the meetings there. When the boys were in, early parts of high school, I was going to special ed advisory council committee meetings. And those meetings are very, very important because all of the supervisors of special ed, they're there, and also the district supervisor is there as well. And those are the people you want to talk to if you're having issues. So, you know, you have to advocate for your kid. I cannot say that enough. And it's okay to ask for help, you know?
Yeah.
It's okay to ask for help, you know? So that's what's worked for us. And I do tell parents that, because I do have parents that I know, and they have, you know, they might be going through a difficult time, and I just try to encourage them as much as I can and tell them that, you know, you will get through it.
Well, now that Stan's an adult, what are some things that that you're facing that may be a little bit different than you have thus far in your journey?
Well, you know, I know for Stan, Stan loves everyone. We go out in public and, you know, he wants to say hi to everyone. And I always tell him, especially if there are young kids, you know, that he's saying hello to, I'm like, well, that kid doesn't know you, and you're considered an adult. So you have to, you know, if you don't know that kid, and their parents probably told them, do not talk to strangers, you know, just being appropriate. I know COVID was really tough for Stan as far as being able to hug and, you know, shake hands, because that's what we teach them, you know,
right,
how to, you know, express themselves. And, it was hard for him to say, oh no, if you see Miss Christie, you cannot hug her, you know. Even now, he doesn't like to wear a mask, but I do try to, you know, try to tell him that, you know, he should wear it at times. But, and just trying to, I guess the goal right now is trying to make Stan as independent as he can be with the right resources in place.
So with that, where do you see him? Where would you like to see him in the future? What would be, you know, there's no ideal future, but what would be a positive outcome in the future for him? What would you like him to be doing?
I can see Stan having like a full-time job because he's a very hard worker. And right now he has a part-time job where he works Mondays and Fridays at the rest stop here near exit 41. And they love him there. You know, they send home spreadsheets, you know, oh, Stan did great in this, that. So I can see him, you know, holding a full-time job with the right support.
Oh, I would love to. I would love that. I absolutely agree. I think he could be really successful, you know, probably with some support, maybe for a time, maybe not. You never know what the future may hold, but that would be wonderful. Wonderful to hear that. Is there anything else that you, I know we're a little bit limited on time, so just, is there anything else you wanted to share with us right now?
Oh, I wanted to mention some of the organizations, the local organizations. So I mentioned Faces for Autism. They're a good resource. Heart of Surfing, they're another good resource. Some people think that 21 Down is only for kids who have Down syndrome. That is not right. 21 Down is open to anyone who has a disability. And also the Atlantic County Center of Independent, as you get older, that's another good resource. I'm on the board there. What other thing? Faces does a lot of, they have a lot of events. So as I mentioned before, they're a good resource. There's so much, we're so blessed here because there are so many resources and there's always so many events. We don't even get to go to all the events because there's so many. But
and that's such a beautiful thing, right? In this area, honestly, there isn't always that sense of community, and you might see somebody at, you know, the surfing event or skateboarding with Heart of Surfing, and then Faces does a get together, like a, you know, a young adult get together, and everybody kind of shows up there too. So you start getting to know and building your own network as a parent, but also as, you know, either a child or an adult, you also start making your friendships and your network, which is really neat. So that's very cool.
And Brigantine Aquatic Center, they have the Stanley Special Friends, and you know, kids are constantly coming to take swim lessons. So that's another good resource. But we're blessed because, you know, in this area we have so many resources that you know, what I think for someone who's moving to the area, and you know, there's just so much here, so there's always a good resource. Also, Statewide Parent Advocacy Network, I know they were very helpful with me throughout the years. Stan was having some challenges and we needed to make some changes at school. That's a really good resource that I don't think a lot of parents know, that you can actually have an advocate to come to your school to help you advocate for your kid. So that's another good resource, I believe.
Thank you so much. Now is our favorite time, when Logan gets to ask her top 10 questions. They're pretty rapid fire, but they're not too challenging.
Yes. Yeah, so Okay. Whatever comes to your head is what you're going to answer with. So let's get started. So a four-letter word that starts with K.
Kind.
Kind. Favorite store.
Favorite store. Boscoff's.
Ooh. Tools you never leave home without. A tool, sorry.
Tool I never leave home. Does it have to be a tool or it can be anything?
A tool, but
doesn't have to be like a
hammer. Right, it doesn't have to be like a mechanical tool.
Something that you use to help you with something else. That's really what a tool is.
Well, I can't leave home without my phone.
Right, that's a good one. Would you rather stay in or go out?
Stay in.
Go to lazy dinner.
go, Bonefish has the family style bundle that we like. No, not Goldfish. I'm sorry. Bonefish has the family.
I didn't know they had a family dinner.
A family bundle. You can get either chicken or you can get salmon, and you get to pick two sides. Like you can get a Caesar salad for a family, and you can get mashed potatoes, and you can, and they give you cookies, and they give you
they do the bread. Whole runaround.
Oh yeah,
nice. You had me at cookies.
They went up after COVID, but it's still a nice go-to.
Yeah, they also have a good brunch. And the one that's near exit 36 is not like down here. It's right in the shopping center as you get off. It's not very crowded. So you can go there for a really nice like brunch, get a little mimosa if you like that. But their food was really good. So
nice. I
recommend it.
Nice. All right, your favorite hobby.
You have time reading. For a hobby.
Okay. Reading. Your favorite pizza topping.
I just like plain pizza.
Love that. Favorite rainy day activity?
Maybe watching a movie.
Mm-hmm. Eagles or Chiefs?
Uh-oh. This is a Giants house.
I was going to say.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was a shame that last game, though, with you guys and the Eagles. Oh.
And if I pick the Eagles, I don't know if I can stay here, so I'll have to go with the Chiefs.
All right.
Well, we won't tell anybody because if you come in here saying the Chiefs, they might be a little upset.
All right, and last one, your life motto.
Don't sweat the small stuff. My mom, I have to tell you this really quick. So the book was published on December 8th, which happened to be the same day my mom passed. So it was bittersweet for me. I was happy about the book, but my mom was able to see the book a couple months ago. One of my really good sister friends, Patrice Dawson, she printed the book out for me, and I was able to show my mom, and she really loved the book. So as I go on this journey with, you know, promoting the book and talking about the book and talking about the story, I always try to talk about my mom. Because Stan was the first grandkid. So Stan got so much attention from his grandparents. My mom used to make homemade baby food for Stan and naming Stan. Really,
wow.
Stan really got a lot of attention. My mom was very proud of Stan. She and my dad as well, who's passed on also. But and my mom would always, if she had a friend who had a kid with special needs, oh, you gotta talk to my daughter, Karen. Yeah.
Right. Because it takes a village.
She always said that. And she always said, don't sweat the small stuff. So I just keep that in my head.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know?
Yeah. Karen, can you tell us again what the book's name is and then let us know where our listeners can buy the book?
Oh, it's called Don't Give Up, the Stan Adams Jr. Story. It's available on Amazon in paperback and on Kindle. We also have a Facebook page, Give Up Stan Adams Jr. Story Facebook, and also Twitter as well.
Very nice.
Definitely check it out. Yeah. It's a great read. It's not a 500-page novel, so you can read it in a weekend and feel so good when you walk away from it. I mean, I did. I actually, as soon as I read it, I like started texting people who were either in the book or hadn't read it yet to tell them about it. We have a few copies down here as well at our office, but highly, highly recommend it. Also, support local, and why wouldn't you want to read the story of somebody who lives right in your community? So thank you so much.
And the goal was to inspire people. So I think I've reached that goal.
Yeah,
you absolutely have. And continue to do so.
We are so grateful for your journey and for you sharing that with us today. And we can't wait for everybody else to be able to hear about it as well.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Interactive Kids, because you guys have been part of the journey as well.
You are welcome.
And part of the village.
Yes, we're glad to be part of that village.
Thanks for listening. Looking for more? Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app
and Instagram at The Interactive Journey.
Questions, comments, or want to be a guest on our show? We'd love to hear from you. You can message us at podcast@interactivekids.com or on Instagram at The Interactive Journey.